Yo, this is Big Chris from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and at our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Popping your geek every week. I tried to hide it from Brian. I thought it would have been really funny. But as we speak, as we record, not more than 10, 15 minutes ago, the news broke that Kevin Feige is going to save Star Wars.
What?
Save it? What? Star Wars is saving.
Come on.
I am happy about this news, but Star Wars is
I'm ecstatic. They contacted the second best person they could possibly contact to do more Star Wars stuff.
Oh, is it first George Lucas?
No. Well, okay. No.
Because I know you're
Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni is still, he's working on it.
I think Filoni's amazing. I think he should be
working on the
successor.
Mandalorian. He's working on the Resistance.
I think he should be, well, he produces that. He doesn't have a big hand in
it. But you just want him to be involved in the movies.
I agree.
He just wants him to be in charge.
The Clone Wars and Rebels are so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been to his panels. He knows what he's talking about.
I honestly think, like, if, you know, I'm sure Kathy Kennedy will be in this position for a very long time, but if she were to ever step down, Filoni would be a perfect fit for just managing the whole
Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's what I've always felt.
Yeah.
He's also made some weird comments, comments that he's happy to see one of his characters step onto the stage or something. No one knows what he's talking about.
Oh,
obviously it's one of his characters stepping onto a stage.
Yeah,
duh.
I'm thinking maybe Hondo?
Ahsoka?
It might be Hondo, huh?
Yeah.
I thought it might have been
be a strange choice for the Mandalorian, but you know.
Why?
Well, cuz it's not really a Jedi
based.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people were more attuned to it being Sabine from Rebels
because
she's
a Mandalorian.
Oh, she's a Mandalorian. Yeah.
And she was actually like she had the black saber for a while.
That's true.
So that'd be good. But anyway, Kevin Feige, man, I say save Star Wars because as much as I did like The Last Jedi, I mean, I think we'd all agree that the new Star Wars movies have been a mixed bag.
Well,
to say
and
the least.
Solo was a box office disappointment, as much as, you know, diehard fans were on board with it. They're not all of them, but, you know, but either way, it just.
Do
it
not speak for me, Brian.
I
did
Solo.
Not care for Solo.
I loved it.
It's okay.
But, I know.
But yeah. I mean, dude, fucking Kevin Feige. And I love how, like, Kathy Kennedy, I guess, you know, a lot, because this is official. It's, like, came out on all the trades and everything. There's quotes from Kathy Kennedy talking about it.
They
she mentioned, like, summer. You know, obviously Disney has had a great relationship with Kevin Feige for the last 10 years or whatnot.
They probably had to really reanalyze what they did because, you know, I don't think they knocked out of the park the way they should have been.
Yeah.
This is how they feel. I don't think they knocked out the way that they thought they were going to do it.
For Star Wars.
But
for
nevertheless, Star Wars. Kathy Kennedy mentioned that Feige is also a diehard Star Wars fan, so it just felt like a perfect mixture to, you know, considering how much he's managing
didn't
everything.
Didn't we say the same thing about JJ?
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Didn't
well,
say that.
But JJ is a diehard Star Wars fan, and I think that's probably... you know, to his credit, he's, you know, maybe too much of a Star
we've
Wars
seen
fan
it fail, and I, not that I doubt that Feige will have a hard time with us.
Sure.
I think he's done great for Marvel. I think he will do good for Star Wars.
So does that mean we've gotten three directors, or how do you want to? I don't know how you want to say this. We got
Well, if you're not counting the spinoffs,
we're counting
Ryan
Johnson.
We're counting the
J.J. Abrams.
No, I don't count.
Colin.
the Game of Thrones
Colin
guys.
Trevor was
oh,
fired.
Okay.
And
yeah,
then,
D.B.
Now
Weiss and Dan Benioff.
So, like, what is Feige working on? Is he working in conjunction with Ryan and his new trilogy or his new movies, or are they working?
It's
with
entirely
the,
possible
with
because
the, what are the D.B. Weissman and what?
D.B. Weiss and Dan Benioff.
Is he working with them?
I hope he's kind of working with all of them.
Because I think we all agree.
Sort of how with Marvel he kind of worked over everything.
That's
I feel like that's the position he's taking
here. That's why I'm like...
I could be wrong.
Well, this news story mentions that he pitched a movie. Mm. So I'm assuming this is something completely new.
Yes, that'll work too.
I'm okay with it. I'm fine with whatever. I think I would rather see him in that position kind of working over it all. Just because as much as I loved Game of Thrones... They biffed it at the end.
Sure.
And I am not trustworthy of them ending something.
Maybe Feige can play a similar role that he has to the MCU, where he's been the producer tying this all together. But obviously, you know, he's not the one, you know, helming any individual ship. He's just the guy, the overseer, the godfather.
Well, the tone, obviously, of the Marvel Universe and Star Wars Universe is very different depending on director to director.
Sure.
I think it's fair to say mixed bag with Star Wars. We got two good ones and two once.
But it's also possible that he, because they're saying he pitched a movie to them. So mm-hmm. I'm almost thinking that it's very similar to John Knoll, his role with Rogue One. Unless we forget, Rogue One began with just John Knoll coming to Star Wars going like, hey, I got an idea.
Guys, you think this is cool?
The guy's stealing Death Star plans.
Arguably, that might be the best of the new Star Wars movies that has come out.
It's my opinion. Favorite. Yeah.
I mean, I really like it too. Yeah. I really like Last Jedi, but there's some things I could take and leave out of there. But
sure.
Rogue One, like, I'm with it the whole way through.
It's so fucking great. It's so good.
It's really good. Anyway, that was our top of the morning news that just broke, and that's how we're reacting. I wanted to surprise Brian, but he's a dickhead. By the way. Welcome to Peepop. That's right. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
And Rika.
And we are the collective known as Geek Pop Podcast, Geek Pop Gang.
Resistance is futile.
The resistance can be futile, but it's probably not. We're not gonna enforce it.
We're not gonna assimilate people.
Oh, yeah, you wanna join? No?
All right, fine. Okay.
Here's our card.
We're like the Borg, but just not that insisted.
Give us a like, if not, it's cool.
We like to give consent.
Exactly.
Consent.
Well, if you want to say no, that's fine. We're just gonna pout.
Star Wars, man. Kevin Feige, I think that's pretty exciting. I think he's done obviously an outstanding job with the Marvel Universe, and I can't wait to see what he does when he touches the Star Wars Universe.
And I'm glad that news just dropped, because not only is it huge and, you know, I think most of us think good news, we didn't otherwise have a Star Wars story this week.
I know you have a friend that might not agree, but I think pretty much for the most part, 90% of the people are going to be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Let this man who knows what he's doing, movies, a connected universe, do this.
Sure. Because one thing's been said about how, you know, because Bob Iger has come out and said...
He reiterated
kind of what I think Kathy Kennedy has echoed before, where, you know, the idea that they may have approached putting out too many Star Wars movies at once.
And I don't think that was a problem.
I agree. I'm in that same camp of like, well, look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're doing, what, 3-4 movies a year, and there's no problem there. I think... part of it, like, you can't quite compare them exactly, because it's a little like apples and oranges. The Star Wars movies are not all this shared universe and following the same, you know. Well, yeah, they are. Sorry,
absolutely.
Let me take that back. It's not that it's not a shared universe, but it's not like you need to have seen Solo to get to know what's going on in Rise of Skywalker. You don't need to have seen, you know, Rogue One to know what's going on in The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. They're jumping around the timeline, and whereas you know, all these MCU movies are very much episodic. Like, you know, this is the next chapter. Even
but you can still watch those movies without having to watch some. I can watch Spider-Man without having to watch. You know, Iron Man 2 or something.
Sure, mm-hmm. But it's not as interconnected, and in turn, I think people are less inclined to make sure they're seeing the latest Star Wars movie or something like that. And there's something, and also, you know, we know certainly that The Force Awakens went through a complete rewrite.
Rogue One
went through a complete
rewrite. He fumbled Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Solo changed directors.
And Solo, I feel really bad for Solo, because I really wanted to like Solo. And, the Darth Maul thing was amazing. But, you know, for me, a lot of the movie just felt like it was, two chef, three chefs on a dish that, you know, I'm going to make a hamburger steak.
Too many cooks?
Yeah, too mm-hmm. many, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Let's not make it an episode of Too Many.
I was going to ask if you read the Bob Iger, they're releasing his piece of his memoir.
Yeah. Well, he talked a little bit about a certain Mr. Lucas. At the same time, everyone was like blowing up on the internet about like, oh my God, George Lucas didn't like The Force Awakens. It's like, was that news? I thought we all knew that.
It wasn't news. I think it was
the way it was presented.
And what he said
different.
And how he felt, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he actually gave you the insight. I'm like, you guys didn't take anything I was going to give you, and you didn't do any advancements. Like, and now I'm like, that's part. Yeah. Anyway, but we can't get into that.
Sure. Well, either way, reading that whole story, it's like, well, at the same time, it's like, it's not like anything that's huge. Like, we found out that he was disappointed they weren't going with his treatments, but he also acknowledged they don't have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and at the same time, I think he was disappointed that early cut of Force Awakens, because he realized they were going for a very retro movie. And Lucas, understandably, would have been the kind of guy going like, show us crazy new planets and new
characters,
stuff.
You know,
like, mm-hmm. Not all this stuff that's harkening back.
Well, we
to,
did get new characters, technically.
Technically.
Yeah.
But they're not new characters. They're all analogs of stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get going with the show. That's a plenty of Star Wars talk, because we don't have enough information to be talking this long. I just want to throw this in. This was going to be top of the show. I want to give a congratulations to Ash Ketchum for finally becoming a Pokemon master at the age of 30-something.
Is it, that was actually part of one of my questions. Like, how old is this guy in-universe?
In-universe, I think been, he's still a kid.
He's still like 5 years old. Or not, 10 years old.
Wow.
Wow. He's still young. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is that his canon age?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. Because, like, if I remember correctly, they leave their home at 8, and so I think it's only been 2 years since.
I think
he's
older than that, but I can't
remember 100%. Yeah.
But I also found the story kind of hilarious, because I didn't realize he's never won a championship.
Never. No.
The first time he got biffed out in the top 16 or something like that. So
he got knocked out really early
in
the first one. And then, like, the second one, he got closer, just like one or two more matches more in.
I think he got some. I think it was like 16-8 to 4-2 or something like that. Because the last league he was in, he lost. Right. He came in second.
Which everyone thought, like, oh, he has a chance. He has a chance. And he biffed it.
Pull it away from
and everyone just kept on making fun of him.
I watched this one, and it was not as dramatic as I would have hoped. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I saw it too. I was like, really?
Okay. And he won it with, what is this? Dog Pokemon?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess it would be more dramatic if I actually watched the series and knew what that Pokemon was and what it meant.
Because they had history.
Yeah.
Because if you can watch it, it's like an 8 minute, 9 minute clip online. Like, it's been on a couple places, but he fights his Sun and Moon rival or whatever, and the Pokemon that they battle, they have
It's the same history. One, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the same one. Except one's, I think, shiny, I guess, because they're different colors.
Okay.
Shit.
But the main draw is the bad guy or the rival character. His Pokemon knows Counter. So in the show, they make it like this huge thing. Like, every time his Pokemon tries to attack, he's like, all right, Dick knows Counter. And he does like this, you know, Matrix style shift of weight and then punches. You know, you have to watch it. I'm not doing a fair analysis, but it's not as exciting, but it is kind of cool to watch. And he won. He's a Pokemon champion finally.
He's finally the very best. Like, that no one ever was ever
one of, yeah. I don't know if he's the very best.
he is now. No.
Yeah, what does this mean exactly? Like, he won one championship.
He's so a champion.
So he's done.
He's the lone champion.
He wants to be one of the very
lone?
Best.
He's the lone league champion.
Okay.
So he's, you know, missed a couple of their Kanto.
So they can still keep going with him, right?
I mean, they have to keep going because they have other, you know, another region to go for.
I think
and there's a new series starting next year.
I think they're going to reboot him. I think they're going to reboot Ash. Or retell his story in a different way.
We don't know.
I mean, technically, it's already a reboot because of a different art style, but but it is a different art style.
It's just a different art style, though.
Yeah, it's all the same canon.
If it's the same story arc. I don't quite see that.
I did see a movie on. It was on Netflix, but I'm sure it was somewhere else. But is it a literal retelling of Ash's origin, like the first couple of episodes, redrawn and retold? Like, Misty's not in it. It's somebody else.
Hmm. Oh.
It's a better art style.
Oh, yeah. That's a legit
Pokemon thing. Yeah,
it's a real
I remember
thing.
That was the one where everyone was freaking out because Pikachu talked in that one.
I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah, it was a quick, like, love you too. And it was kind of speculated to be like in Dash's mind or whatnot.
Okay, forgive me for being pretty ignorant with this, but like, why does Meowth talk?
Oh,
he can.
Wait, so, there's a reason why? I thought there was no reason.
So, if you've never watched the show, he doesn't know he doesn't know the Pokemon move Payday, which is a Meowth
thing. Common.
They know.
That's their thing.
Because Jesse and James one time like, why don't you know Payday? We could be so rich. He's like, because I learned to talk, so I can't learn Payday.
Oh, so he just learned, that specific Meowth has learned.
So his move, basically it's a Poke move. He learned to talk instead of use Payday. So that's why.
That's the explanation to get.
Awesome. I remember that episode because I'm like, oh, that's why he can talk. I'm like, and I always remember, like, he's got that coin. Like, why doesn't he just use Payday and get a couple bucks? And
so other Meowths just say Meowth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. He's literally maybe something
special. I think
the
only Pokemon that can talk because he taught himself he learned to talk, basically.
Right.
Instead of Payday.
Instead of his other move.
Because they're like, I can never. Again, it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like a dramatic, I can never learn Payday because I learned to talk.
It just reminds me of a joke. What did Raichu say when he saw Pikachu?
I don't.
Pichu?
Raichu.
Oh.
Good one, Brian.
Thank you.
That's a knee slapper.
Don't quote me on that. You'd have to look it up to make sure I was right. But I distinctly remember that episode of Meowth saying that. I don't know if that's the actual reason.
I gotta look it up. I don't even remember that episode.
Yeah. Mm. I couldn't tell you which one it was, but I 100% remember that being in an episode. So, all right. Well, let's move on. I threw Ghost Rider in here because Feige is he wants to put Ghost Rider. The rumor is he wants to put Ghost Rider in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which of course he should. That fits in with fucking Blade and Doctor Strange. Those are common people in the comic books. They just kind of go hand in hand with the mysticism and the devils and the demons and stuff like that. I think it's a good idea. They don't know if they want which Ghost Rider they want, supposedly, but I think they have another option now because Hulu has passed on the Ghost Rider series with Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, ooh. And that's the thing. The scoop about Feige came before that got dropped, that Hulu is not moving forward with that show. And I remember first hearing about Ghost Rider being involved with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or being introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Once they got the Ghost Rider property back. And I was happy for that, but at the same time kind of wondering, does that mean he's off for the films? And probably. And I guess it's, Feige, apparently if he wants to bring him to the films, and at the same time, like, bring Gabriel. Yeah, and also bringing Gabriel Luna's version of Robbie Reyes. Yeah, I mean, because
really
I haven't seen his Ghost Rider, but I've heard nothing but great things about, like, and I've seen the scene at least where Johnny Blaze, because I didn't realize Johnny Blaze appeared in it. I had to look it up and, like, yeah, because there's a scene, I guess, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where Johnny Blaze imbues him with passes on the Ghost Rider.
Well,
but you don't see his face. You just see him in skull form.
Okay, because it's not the same Ghost Rider. Well, it might be. I don't know. But you're right. I do remember there being a Johnny Blaze character.
Yeah, it's after Robbie gets injured in the crash, and then he like touches his face and like fire. It's not what he said. It's him passing on the
classic Ghost Rider line. Fire!
That was almost skull fire, right? Crazy.
I can almost see Nicolas Cage doing that. Fire!
So we could totally get Johnny Blaze. We could get a Danny Ketch or a Robbie Reyes. I hope they go with the latter.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Gabriel Luna, like, he's a good actor. I'd like to see him.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, hell, he's going to be the Terminator now. Why not let him be?
And I'm looking forward to that, him as being the Terminator. He looks pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of tepid reactions about the Dark Fate trailers, but the last one, like, I thought last trailer looked pretty gnarly.
The trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it. I liked that line he had in the movie, like, my whole body's a weapon.
Yeah. And he's walking through all those guys and just stabbing them. Like,
fucking so good. Anyway, Ghost Rider, he has a rightful place, I think, in the mystical corner of the Marvel Universe. I hope they stick with Robbie Reyes, yeah. I mean, it's a bummer to hear that Hulu's not going to keep doing it, but who knows?
Maybe that opens a door for bringing him to the big screen.
I just have a really hard time seeing him continue with Gabriel Luna's Ghost Rider on a movie.
And that may well be, but, that's the nice thing about the Ghost Rider. It's not any one person.
True.
You can pass on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just do a big screen version of Robbie Reyes. That's not Gabriel Luna, which would be kind of stupid. Why not just keep him? But
I mean, they could do multiple in a movie.
Sure,
they could totally skip Danny Ketch. And
I think that was actually one of the really awesome moments about Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider was that time that he rides off with the other Ghost Rider, played by what's his name, Sam Elliott. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
That was like, oh, that was awesome. They ride off together. He's on his horse. He's on his bike, and then they just sort of split up. Goodbye now, since we've got to ride together.
I think
why aren't you helping him then?
Visually cool, but in the end, I'm like, why?
Yeah, that's basically that whole movie. It looked cool, but
both of them. They made a fucking sequel. Can you believe?
Yeah,
that?
I never saw the second one. I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, sure, I did.
Yeah. Ghost of Vengeance, I think it was.
I don't remember it. I know I saw them.
It's forgettable, I guess.
I know I saw them both.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 100% sure of that. Which one was the one with the element people? That was the first one.
That's the first one. Yeah.
Mephisto and Blackheart.
Yeah. Which actually kind of dug the late Peter Fonda as Mephisto. I mean, it was a tiny role, but he was pretty good in it. He sunk his teeth in that.
Yeah. Yes.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Well, maybe coming to a movie theater.
Yes.
Not coming to a movie theater, but coming to right here.
Oh, no. It is coming to a movie theater.
I forgot. Limited release.
Yes. Totally, but largely to Netflix.
Yes. And what we're talking about is El Camino has come out with a trailer for right before it came out. So Well, not right before, but you know what I mean. As in, like, it's going to come out very soon.
October. Yes, but
we've, this is the first time we're getting an actual trailer.
Mm-hmm. Trailer, yeah.
Because we've gotten, like, teasers. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And if you don't know, El Camino is the sequel to Breaking Bad.
Right. Well, I struggle with sequel, but, like, yeah, it's definitely after Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It
is. I mean, I'm surprised how close it is right after. I mean, like, mm-hmm. Jesse is still very much on the run. Like, you see him coming to...
He literally hears the radio station talk about the shooting, basically.
Yeah, yeah. He's still in the car. He's still dirty. He still hasn't showered. Like, you see him, like, actually for the first time, you know, cleaning himself up after the shit he went through with the neo-Nazis. Yeah, Skinny Pete and his... And
Badger.
Badger. Badger, yeah, yeah. I mean, oh my God, they all look like... I'm so surprised how well these actors look like they're like it's the next day.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Okay.
It's not quite that. They show a picture of Jesse Pinkman younger when he first started, and I'm like, yeah, he looked that young.
Sure.
He
don't
look he
didn't look that young, though, at the end of the series, though.
They can get away with that because he's been through trauma, and that trauma obviously is going to change age and make you like look all fucked up. Yeah. So
exactly. And I think also in part just because I don't know if you guys are watching Better Call Saul these days, but it's so good. But at the same time, Better Call Saul is suffering from the fact that, you know, it's been years after Breaking Bad. This is a prequel, and they're constantly trying to make the actors look younger and younger, and they're just not quite getting away with it a lot.
No.
But this, like, obviously, this is following Breaking Bad. They can let the actors age a little into the role, and they look great back in their, you know.
As a matter of fact, Better Call Saul, like, there are times I'm pulled out of the fucking show because I'm like,
yeah, especially
he looks old, dude.
Yeah,
he looks
well,
old
especially
man.
When they did that flashback with Chuck, when Chuck was like a young and successful lawyer, and it's like, you can't. I mean, unless you're de-aging Michael McKean,
which they weren't,
just put you can't just put a wig on him.
They make-upped him and pulled his neck back. That was like that was
bad.
But I mean, otherwise, it's a great show. But you're constantly, you're right. You're constantly pulled back by the obvious fact that the actors have aged and they're playing younger versions. Whereas here, obviously, this is the first time we're
like
jumping forward.
Mike looks ancient in that show. Anyway,
yeah.
El Camino. He obviously named after the car he got away in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Need for Speed was not the sequel. This is the sequel.
Which I forget he was actually in that movie.
Need for Speed was a
There's not too much in this trailer. It's a lot of what is it? Who does the cinematography for the show? Because
oh my goodness,
still fucking great.
I don't remember, but
sure it's Peter Gould.
It still looks.
I feel like it doesn't say a lot, but I feel like there's at least two different they're working on two different timelines. One shortly after. The events of Breaking Bad, and then sometime after that, whether it's weeks or months.
Well, it's not unlike, you know, Vince Gilligan Junkyard's with this whole show, both in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. He jumps around time.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, I remember when we first started hearing about the rumors about Vince Gilligan doing, you know, a movie that would follow Breaking Bad. I mean, my assumption was that maybe this is also going to tie into Better Call Saul because, you know, every season of Better Call Saul has begun with a scene taking place post Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, what's the point of all these scenes? It must be building up to something. So I remember just thinking, well, this sequel about Jesse Pinkman's got to tie into that because we're going to find out that, you know, that Saul Goodman is going to get his law degree back somehow and defend Jesse Pinkman in court or something. But this sounds like it's and by the fact that this is already dropping, you know, well before even the next season of Better Call Saul, this is its own piece about Jesse. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you guys recognize the voice at the end?
I don't think you're meant to.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's supposed to be very ambiguous.
It does feel like there's something like there, like that voice.
It feels like Walter, but I don't think it's Walter. But I don't know.
I'm sure we're going to see Walt in flashbacks or in some mm-hmm. or the dreams or something because leading up to this, there's, you know, there a lot of the teasing that's been about this has been coming from not just Aaron Paul but Bryan Cranston too.
Yeah.
So I'm
I do
sure
like
we're
someone.
See him.
I don't recall the name of the song, but someone. The name of the song, they're like, it's an anagram. If you take out one letter, it says Waltz Back or something like that.
They've done shit like that.
I know.
It's entirely plausible.
It's not so far out that I couldn't get it. Another question I was going to ask that maybe Brian caught it. Who is the person at the end? Because his hand looks kind of gnarl.
You're going to have to remind me here.
Okay, so there's a guy at the end who's like, you ready?
Yeah,
right.
That's that voice.
Like that.
Yeah,
and he doesn't sound like Bryan Cranston exactly, but I guess it could be whatever they're trying to do. But his hand, as he's reaching for his gun, looks a little messed
up.
Oh,
you're talking about the guy, yeah, that he faces up. Yeah, okay.
So I don't know.
I just naturally assumed it was a new character.
Yeah, but, I don't know. There's some really weird emphasis on it.
Yeah. She's and also like, that cop that...
I see the hand and...
Well, for a second, I thought maybe that cop that it was trailing the over the shoulder of, it was might have been Gomez, but I remembered, oh, my...
No, Gomez
is dead.
Died. Yeah.
Everyone's
poor Gomez.
Dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Everyone good, anyway.
And bad. Heisenberg's dead.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, Skyler's still around, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a lot that was of evidence her. To say that he's not dead.
And so is Saul. So. Oh. But yeah, no, Michael Mando, who is awesome as Nacho in Better Call Saul, yeah, his character is mentioned by Saul in Breaking Bad, but his fate is still up in the air, which is why it's, you know,
he's really good on
he's so good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
But that'd be awesome if they, you know,
if they
tie him in somehow. I mean, he doesn't know Jesse, or at least as far as
we
know.
We don't know.
But
I mean, it's a dope game. You don't know. El Camino. Yeah. They don't give us much there, but boy, they got some good shots. Let's
yeah, and it's dropping on Netflix. What in like
October 11th?
October 11th. Yeah,
October
11th. A couple of weeks.
Thank
Sweet.
You. All right, Brian.
All right, so moving on to some casting news for The Batman, Matt Reeves' Batman film. We got some news that Jonah Hill, for one thing, is in negotiations for...
Well, you went off with the big gun. I would have started with the smaller part of this.
Sure, but I mean, that I wanted to mention first because we don't know who Jonah Hill might be attached to play.
Okay.
Whereas the other casting news, well, it's a fairly big... Jeffrey Wright is a big...
not a big
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, probably not.
I feel the other way about that. I feel like Jeffrey Wright is the better actor of the two. Not to knock
down Jonah Hill,
but
Jeffrey Wright is fucking awesome.
I love Jeffrey Wright, but I don't know if he's a...
But I think star power-wise, I think Jonah Hill's
Felix
bigger.
Later in James Bond. And
I know.
And
I am familiar with his work.
Are you?
Why can't I remember his
characters? Why can't Brian just say more?
He played Peoples in Shaft.
In Westworld, he played both Bernard and... Who is it?
What's Riveting Brian. Okay. So anyway,
Jeffrey Wright has been is in negotiations to play Commissioner Gordon, and which is I think he's an excellent choice, and I think at the same time it's also pretty cool that because I think there were rumors a while back that Matt Reeves was already seeking a person of color to play Commissioner Gordon because he apparently initially wanted Mahershala Ali, and Mahershala Ali would be great. I mean, he's great in anything.
Oh, he's in Blade now.
But he's Blade now, exactly. Yeah, and once you're in a Marvel movie.
Apparently, no loss.
Yeah. He's extremely young to play Gordon, too.
Yeah, he does seem a little bit young. I mean, I think Jeffrey Wright is a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody middle-aged kind of grizzled. Like you, because that's part of why, like, what's interesting about Gordon. He's, you know, Gordon's like the one good cop in Gotham, and he's worn thin. And you know, he feels like he's the last one left, and then suddenly Batman sort of, you know, gets into the picture. That's one of the things I love about Batman Year One is that it's told from his perspective, kind of like.
I just realized that it means if they ever introduce a Batgirl, which is his daughter, that means that they can totally put someone.
Yeah. Barbara Gordon can be a person of color as well.
That's kind of exciting.
Sweet.
The other, of course, news that is Jonah Hill is in an unmarked role, who's looking to get almost double, from what I understand, of what Patterson's getting as Batman.
Cool.
Which he's an A-list actor, so he can pretty
he's
much.
He's Oscar nominated.
Jonah Hill's an Oscar nominated, Pattinson doesn't have an Oscar nomination.
No.
Not
he's
yet.
Got a Razzie.
He will for Batman.
He's got probably a couple of them. But a lot of people are jumping to the conclusion, like the 100%, oh, he's going to be Penguin. I'm like, why would you guys say that?
Yeah, plus that
he's an actual actor.
Guys.
I know.
Plus, exactly. That's what I feel like people
are
jumping to Penguin.
Danny DeVito was
an
actor, too. I mean, he's still an actor.
Oh, sure.
He's still around, at least.
Other thing is, like, for one thing, Jonah Hill has lost a lot of that weight, and I think another thing is that he's also been pretty sensitive about his weight. So I feel like if like people jumping to the conclusion, oh, he must be Penguin because he's kind of a not skinny guy, it's like guys, let's not jump to that conclusion.
Penguin
here.
Can be skinny.
He's a good.
Which I think
he'd be a really good Edward Nygma.
As I was gonna say, Riddler.
He'd be a great
he's
Riddler.
A good, I think Jonah Hill's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's been in a lot of stuff that
Moneyball
you're just like. Sure, Moneyball.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street is the other one I was going to pull
Super
from.
Bad.
I mean,
even in his comedies, he's great. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's done a lot of comedy. He's so fucking good in
he's really
the 21 Jump Street movies.
Yeah, he's good in there.
I forgot about that. Yeah. And he does the, what does he do? What do you say in the
come
second
to
one?
That Fry Emporium song that he
just say, like, what do you mean you're doing a voice or a persona? Right. You didn't tell me you're doing a persona. He's like, right. Come on, man. Like, and he's doing it.
My name's Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
Well, that's Jonah.
That was Tatum, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I hope that he is. I mean, I don't care, to be honest with you, but I feel like I was like, whoa, guys. Penguin, come on. He's an actor. He could play any of the Batman villains.
Yeah, and quite frankly, he could be great as Penguin, too. And but everybody was jumping to that
conclusion. Sure.
Because there was none of the reports were saying anything about who he was playing. Yeah, so everyone was like, Penguin.
Fat Penguin. Like,
well, come on.
It's fucked up.
And also at the same time, there's so many Batman's Rogues Gallery that has still not made it to the big screen, despite how many films we've gotten.
Well, I've
we
heard
could play Clayface.
I've heard that they're going to be that'd be cool too. Yeah. That they're going to base it. I think Kevin Smith said they're going to base it on the long
Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah, you could play Calendar Man.
Sure. Which didn't that turn out to be? Be Joker behind a lot of that, or was that a different one?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've read it.
Fuck. Yeah, me too.
All I remember.
Let's move along so before someone pull their card.
All right, so moving on to some other news about Battlestar Galactica. Yep. There was apparently some news that Sam Esmail, the showrunner of... Yeah, I almost butchered the line. What's the line?
This has happened before and it'll happen again.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I put it in the
It's always
all
attached.
This has happened before and all this will happen again. That's the line. Mm-hmm. Well, NBC Universal announced, and this is officially straight from them, that mm-hmm. Sam Esmail, the Golden Globe winning and Emmy nominated creator of Mr. Robot and Homecoming, mm-hmm. so he's got some great stuff under his belt. He is going to, and they say, reboot Battlestar Galactica for NBC's new streaming platform Peacock.
But we mistook it as a reboot.
Yes. That's
what
NBC
they said,
Universal
right?
said reboot. And studios like to throw around that word reboot all the time when they sometimes are referring to something that's, you know, not.
Well, nine times out of ten, they're talking about restarting.
Well, and a lot of the fan response to that initial news was backlash because, like, why? Because, you know, Ron Moore's Battlestar Galactica was still relatively recent and still so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why? You know, and at the same time, it's similar to responses of, like, you know, for a long time, Bryan Singer was trying to reboot Battlestar Galactica as well. And I think his was going to be a straight up reboot, you know.
Movie too.
And so, well, in any case, Sam Esmail went on Twitter to quell some of those gripes. And he outright said, for one thing, he said he loved, you know, very much Ron Moore's re-envisioning of Battlestar Galactica. And this will not necessarily be something completely rebooted. It'll be within the same universe. And so I think a lot of fans heard that. Like, okay, good.
I remember that. It's called Caprica.
Sure. Well, yeah, but I mean, but at the same time, I think it could, like, I don't know. I don't imagine it being like Caprica, where Caprica was like, you know, this is the history of the Adama family.
I'm shocked people are, I didn't see that much hate, but I'm shocked people are like, oh, they're going to do a reboot of something that's already been rebooting.
Well, because it was a really good reboot.
Yeah. I mean, people like the original too.
Sure, but the original is so different and it's so dated. Like, it's like,
sure.
So I totally understand why,
sense,
you know.
The new one is dated,
but
yeah. too.
The new one is done. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, there were a lot of people. I know there was a popular term to, you know, Gino, G-I-N-O, to refer to the new one from fans of the original because Galactica in name only.
Oh,
But at the same time, I mean, I get that because if you go back and watch I've seen, like, both shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different. It's almost like, why?
Oh, yeah.
Why even bother calling it the same thing?
I can remember the backlash when the reboot was coming out. And people were ape shit because they changed Starbucks and Boomer to females.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
people
it worked so well.
It was fine. Like, let it go. Battlestars has a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And it was very much a reimagining. The tone of it was completely different. And not to mention the origin of the Cylons was completely changed. Whereas in the original series, the Cylons were totally alien. In the new series, they were the descendants of man's creation, you know, and so it
they're Terminators.
Basically, it's like it's like AI went somewhere and evolved
by itself
for like a century, and then it came back, you know.
Wasn't Caprica called Blood and Chrome or Chrome?
No,
Blood and Chrome was a separate miniseries that got turned into a movie. Yeah,
Brian said it.
Thank you.
Was that the one with was it Amidala's grandfather or something?
No, it was Amidala. Damn it. No, Adama. I can't say it right.
Caprica was the one with Adama's father, right?
I think it was his grandfather. Yeah.
Was his grandfather? Okay.
I think it was his father, right around the first.
Because
war.
They were still okay. developing Cylons.
He was a child in it.
Oh, like Bill Adama. Yeah. Okay, Bill Adama did. Okay, so it's like a little. Was it like a de-aged?
No, he was a child.
A D.H. Edward James.
Yes,
almost
they had they had Edward James almost his head on a child's body.
So the worst part of this is none of those what we're concerned about. It's that it's going to be on a paid subscription service.
So it's like what they did with Star Trek. And
I don't know if Star Trek is working out for them because I don't know anyone that has that. Service.
I know some people do. I know some people. It certainly, I think, came on board because of
Star Trek.
Jordan Peele's.
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone. Yeah, and they've got some. They've got more.
I think
stuff
they have
now, right?
Oh,
like what?
I think they have decent content. Just it's not enough for me to pay for, and sure. I would just put on Netflix, guys.
And the Peacock is going to be just another thing.
And it's same thing. Just put it on Netflix, guys. I'll watch it. But I've seen. Discovery and I really like it.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm not willing.
I hope I can watch this one day.
Not willing to.
I do know a guy
that
gets stuff like that. By the way, how's it, Brian?
Well, I mean.
Did you see it?
No.
Grumble.
Tell me, you should see the movie before it gets out of theaters. It's one of those experiences. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I'm glad I saw this on a big screen. I do those movies all the time.
But I feel like horror movies you don't have to see on a big screen.
This one, you have to.
Or Star Wars.
It's to get the gravity of the of the scariness or the fear, or some of the other emotions. I think it works good on
the Signs screen. Scared the shit out of me, and I saw it on video.
Some movies are fine like that, but it doesn't have the same scope. I always say this in La La Land is, you know, I watched it quite a few times at home and it's still good.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near like when you watch it in the theater and like there's this dun, 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 big old numbers and pretty colors and stuff. Oh my God. Some movies are meant to, and I think it is just.
Yeah, I mean,
you could totally see it at home, but it's not as. You don't
it's
get
like
the.
Anything Nolan does these days. He films them with fucking IMAX cameras. And yeah, I mean, Dunkirk in an IMAX theater was like I don't feel compelled to watch Dunkirk on a laptop.
No, I mean, I don't.
But in the theater,
I
want to
watch it on a laptop.
Yeah, I don't think I do that either.
I watched it on a big
TV.
Screen TV.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
It was fucking loud. It was loud. That's all I remember about that movie, being loud.
But okay, well, back to Battlestar Galactica. If they do this as a continuation of the Ron Moore series, or not continuation, obviously, because the Ron Moore series it caught up to modern day at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where would they do it? Because I mean, I feel like the whole idea, the whole concept, and behind Battlestar Galactica is just that whole notion that they're constantly on the run from the Cylons that are trying to kill them.
Well, that was
do it with a different fleet, maybe. Yeah. And you can't call it the Battlestar Galactica then.
You don't need a specific ship.
And
the Battlestar Galactica was an old piece of shit. So
I mean,
this isn't hard, guys. This is like you're looking at it from one angle.
Well,
there's so many other stories. Like going, like, what else could they do with Star Wars?
There's other stories to tell, but I think it would slightly diminish the stakes that were involved in.
Why?
It
doesn't lower those stakes.
Well,
they're still
it
there.
It's still there and it's still within its thing, but
it's
like if it's another ship
untouched.
At that time, like I get them being somewhere else and just never being able to come in contact with each other again.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm okay with that too.
I also think it'd be weird to call it Battlestar Galactica.
Different. If we're rebooting this, reboot this. Don't touch anything else.
They're not going to call it Battlestar Galactica. I'll just set you.
Doesn't have to be called Battlestar Galactica. It could be called Battlestar, not Pegasus.
Well, I mean, that's just like the Pegasus. I think that'd be interesting to follow. You know, like we got the Pegasus backstory. We did, but something like that, following like an entirely different fleet.
Well, and that's kind of what the Pegasus was, because the Pegasus wasn't because the Battlestar Galactica was a decommissioned ship.
Yeah,
and it had all the old stuff. So the Cylons couldn't really take it over. And
for all you know,
Pegasus
it is
a new hotness.
And the Pegasus was a new
for
hotness.
All you know,
and it made it.
It's the planet, and we're subjugates of the fucking the Cylons. And that's,
yeah, they did that too.
That's our and that's the story. Who knows?
Battlestar Galactica already did
on.
It.
Right. Sure.
All right, that's you, buddy.
I know. I was waiting for you guys to. All
right,
so
sorry.
Tom Welling is coming back. They've just announced it as Superman in the Infinity crossover, the big DC TV crossover.
Who's
yeah,
he?
I think
he, not only him, Erica Durance is going to be there.
Yay!
But not Lex Luthor.
Yeah, well, I mean, not yet. I mean, no. I feel like
he made an announcement that he's like, I'm not doing it, guys.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Michael Rosenbaum was like, here's what happened. I was in Florida tending to a sick relative, and they called me. And they're like, look, we can't tell you how the capacity. We can't tell you when we're going to shoot. We can't tell you
that sucks.
When it's going to be or how long it's going to be, and here's just a little bit of money. He's like, no. He's like, no,
yeah, man. I can't throw my life aside for that. Yeah, I feel I get that.
Especially considering how we've been talking for months about the casting announcements of like, Brandon, oh my Routh, God, they got Brandon Routh, they got Burt fucking Ward. You know?
Yeah. And he's going to be, I found out that he's going to be playing Robin. So,
okay. Yeah, but I'm also kind of curious, like, if he's so much older, like, will he just be like Nightwing or something?
No, he's still Robin.
They're crediting him as Robin so far.
Yeah.
So I can't speak to anything else beyond that Robin. And I also heard today, because originally she had said no, but they're talking about Linda Carter might actually be game for this now. Right?
Fuck yeah. I mean, at this point, there have been so many people involved. We're just looking at the list of who's not involved. Tom Welling was a big one on that list. Like, is anybody from Smallville coming over? Linda Carter is obviously another big name, you know? But yeah, dude, I mean, this is huge. But at the same time, I totally understand Michael Rosenbaum. He's a busy guy. And the way that they're doing this crossover and the fact that there's this many
people
involved.
I'll read you exactly what he said.
They can't have big roles, you know?
This is a direct quote from him. I'll just be straight up about this. WB called my agent Friday afternoon when I was in Florida visiting my grandfather in a nursing home. Their offer, no script, no idea what I'm doing, no idea when I'm shooting, basically no money. And the real kick in the ass was, we have to know now. My simple answer was pass. I think you can understand why.
Yeah.
No, it's like I understand
100%
the want to do it, but you're not giving him anything to work
nothing.
With.
Yeah.
Not even like a time frame, like 3 months from now. And he's like, oh, okay. Like,
and it's a shame because I think arguably he's the best Lex Luthor that we've gotten.
It would have been nice to have him because they're not going to get fucking Kevin Spacey.
Why not? Oh, yeah, no. Never mind.
He was an interesting take on what Gene Hackman did, but he was not my favorite Lex Luthor.
Sure.
Well, neither was Gene Hackman, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman did his own thing, which was...
Yeah, I agree.
You know? I mean, I guess you could say, was it Clancy? Clancy Brown?
Clancy Brown, yeah.
Possibly the best Lex Luthor, like Kevin Conroy is, but I think, honest to God, that Michael Rosenbaum was a very... close second.
That's a
first
very good point, though. If they've got fucking Kevin Conroy and they're playing a live action Batman, if Clancy Brown wants to shave his head
and play Lex Luthor
in,
in the Batman, well, I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
why not? That.
I just thought it was kind of fun because Tom Welling was never Superman except for one minor scene.
He never even wore the suit. That was CGI. No, that was CGI.
They said they borrowed it from the Superman.
They borrowed the look
even
of it, but
even if though he technically wore it, it was only like a quick shot though. It's like
literally him opening his shirt
and it was CG on him. So he never actually wore a suit, which means for the first time he might actually suit up as Superman,
which
somebody said
would be great. I mean, but fucking Tom Welling and
Erica Durance is
Brandon Routh and like, I mean, this point I'm kind of like, I guess well Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher haven't been heard anything, have they?
They've been in Supergirl.
Oh, that's true. They're already part of this universe. Mm-hmm. But it'd be kind of weird if they, because they already played her adoptive parents. So it's like, hey,
oh,
now
we're
also Superman
we're
and Lois. You look a
this
lot
is
like
why
my,
we
no.
adopted
her
you.
Her adoptive father was him. I don't remember who Terry Hatcher was in the show. And then Helen Slater was
Helen Slater
was actually her mom.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
There's so many people. Superman. I mean, at this point, it's like, Jesus, if they get many more people, how much screen time will they all have?
Jesus is going to be in it?
They're throwing it across all their shows, I think, this time, which includes like the end of Arrow, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. I think Batwoman will be up by then.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm missing one.
Well, the crossover event will start with Supergirl. Hmm? It'll go to Batwoman.
No, he's not in that universe.
Oh.
Yeah, so it'll be Supergirl first, then Batwoman, and then The Flash, and then there's like a month-long hiatus, which I'm sure there's going to be a big cliffhanger or something.
Yeah.
And then it'll finish off with Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. So it'll be a 5
there you go.
Hours.
You got it right.
Probably, yeah.
Damn.
God.
Yeah, I can't
with
wait.
This many people involved.
Holy the shit. Sucky thing is, I mean, I'm not caught up with the shows anymore.
Neither am I, but I just jump into this.
Yeah,
I honestly
I
just
feel like
the crossovers.
It's the Flash. It's Green Arrow. I think I know what's going on here, guys.
Yeah.
He runs fast. He shoots arrows. Got
exactly.
It. All right, we got
to
move
episode,
on.
I don't know what's going on. Anyways, moving on to, I guess, Disney news. We got another Frozen trailer and it looks pretty.
It looks good, dude.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
We got a good idea of what's going to be in this one. It seems like a lot of exploring probably the past. I'm assuming maybe talking about the mother because you see the mother in there.
And the father.
Yes. Yeah.
The father is a young boy.
More, yeah.
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 Because it seems to be the area where he came from.
It looks like he's telling the girls somewhere where they had an adventure, and when he was there, when he was young, and he saw magical stuff, and something happened, and the gates closed. This seems like pretty much an original story. But they incorporate a lot of Norwegian folklore in there. They got more trolls in there, and I noticed that the water horse, I don't think it's Norwegian, and it is European.
It's more, I want to say, Irish or Scottish?
They could be blending some mythology.
It's fine, though. It's fine.
It doesn't mean the Norwegians don't have a water horse.
Sure.
But it all looks really, really cool, really original. I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah. And I'm glad, visually. Because I was at the D23, film panel, and they showed us quite a bit of footage of the new movie, and I'm glad to see a lot of this is incorporated into this trailer that, because, I wasn't the biggest fan of Frozen. I enjoyed it, but what they showed us at that panel was just jaw-dropping. Not to mention just the music. They played us the entirety of one of Elsa's new songs. Basically what you expect to be the new, Let It Go. But it's that theme is woven into this trailer. She mentions that voice and that music that she's hearing, and you hear it woven in. It's almost a... But it's that theme. It's a very haunting theme. That's like it's actually kind of based off of the Dies Irae, the famous death cue that's been in so many film scores and stuff like that. But it's I don't know. I love the music in this trailer, and
it looks good, man.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say I was the biggest fan of the first Frozen, but after I saw him, like, holy crap, Disney is doing new stuff, and that's exciting. Just the ending alone was like so unlike anything that Disney has previously done. So I really appreciate Frozen more than I actually liked the first one. But this one, wow, it looks good.
It looks beautiful.
I will say I was even less of a fan after I saw that fucking snowman.
Oh, the Olaf short.
Coco?
The half hour
we don't talk
Olaf
about that
short.
Quote unquote short.
That made you. It makes you lament that whole world. But Frozen's kind of cool. And this looks like I keep saying looks because it is jaw-droppingly stunning. The colors and the effects and even the particle effects.
They seem to be going for a much more poignant story this time too.
Good
tonally.
I think they can. Before it was kind of like proving something.
I think
now
they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you remember how much they were like leaning on Olaf and not just in the movie but like also in all the advertising. They were like, look at the zany.
That is the Disney touch. That is what brings you in and have the kid giggling.
Sure.
Although I'm gonna be honest, my kid didn't think the Olaf movie was any good. So
the short.
Yeah.
She wasn't the only one.
She's like, is this almost over? Is this a long preview?
Yeah, my nephew got pretty bored with it too.
But and then you gotta sit through a 2.5-hour movie of Coco, which was the good part. All right, let's move on.
All right. Nintendo Land will be opening next spring in Universal Studios Japan.
Sweet.
Which isn't the real news of this. This is the fun part is the...
It's going to have two rides?
The two rides, yes.
Well, two rides, but I thought the interactivity of the... Because we knew the rides, but I thought the interactivity of the land was like, oh, that's really cool.
Well, it's vague, though. It's like, there's interconnectivity, and then that's kind of it.
Well, sure, but...
They're saying the whole land is video game.
And that it also tied to your consoles.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming the Switch.
Well, they can't really do much, but the fact that they're actually doing that, like, that's... Beyond what anyone else is doing.
Similar to that, like Harry Potter Land. It's like, you could do stuff, like you buy a wand or whatnot and do stuff with it. I'm assuming they're going to do something similar to that with Nintendo Land. I'm not sure
But connecting to your home console is something that really only Nintendo Land, like a place like Nintendo Land could do.
I think it's going to go much further because they have actual Nintendo involved.
I guess
Rowling's, but J.K. Rowling's doesn't have an entertainment system.
Not yet.
Nintendo does, and I think this is like the perfect combination of two. And of course, the two rides. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Mario
Kart and
Yoshi's Adventure.
Right, yeah. With other rides that come, just possibly, I think they said a Link ride.
But
and
dude,
a
just a Mario Kart ride alone.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some of the
Well, there's a confirmed
patents.
Bowser-themed area. Peach's Castle will be at the park, too.
Nice.
And it will expand with time, and then it will also expand to other parks.
Sweet.
Which is what they do with Harry Potter, which... felt unnecessary when they announced it, but it works now. I get it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, they had the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which I would imagine, like, hey, they're just going to build on that. But instead, they built the second part at a different park. Mm-hmm. So you got to buy admission to both parks just to see both lands.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have one of the best runs. Well, it's the universe, I guess I would say. Because I think they should have built it with the Harry Potter land. But I see how they did it, and it's not as offensive. I don't know. The Gringotts ride seems pretty cool. I haven't been on it yet, though.
I wouldn't know. I haven't.
Me neither. Oh, we're so close.
Yeah, one is
called Geek Pop. Nintendo Land, like you said, opening in Japan, but we are going to get our own versions eventually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems fitting that it would start in Japan. I mean, it's Nintendo.
Right.
But at the same time, I like that they came out and said, like, no, this is eventually going to come to all the other parks. Don't worry. Yeah.
Well, the Mario Kart.
It right now.
I think so, yeah.
Have you seen, like, the patents for some of what they think is for the Mario Kart stuff? No? So it's pretty amazing where they have different levels and your car can hop. So it's like it feels like it hops when you go over boosts. So it's like goes like that.
Blue Spark.
I don't know.
Throw banana peels.
But it's basically a virtual... like track that you go through, but it doesn't look like you're on a track. It's almost kind of like the Disney Universal is, I think, kind of patented the look and feel of, if you guys have been on Transformers. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Transformers or the Spider-Man ride in Orlando. Something it's going to be something like that.
Blending all sort of different
except
practical
it's
things.
Obviously the one in out here in Florida, the car ride cars are just kind of like the slow omnimovers. It seems like these are going to be a little different because you're going to be in race cars.
Yeah, so it should change speed.
And like racing, is like I'm curious if everyone will get their own cart and you're racing against other people.
No. It's going to be like a 6 or 8 car.
Okay. Thing. Well, I mean that makes sense at the same time too. That would because be like part of what makes a good ride is moving volume through. You know?
It would
if everyone got their own
car. The
car
that would
be such a slow line.
Okay, fine. I'm okay with 2 people in the car. One person deals with all the shells and stuff and all the power ups, and the other person drives. I'm okay with that.
Exactly. I got bad news
but
for
like
you. Like
8
more?
People?
6
like,
to 8. I don't know.
Is there like double dash with this more people in the car?
But. I'm driving.
Well, I say it'll 6
like
8.
Just when we all ride this, I'm driving.
Somebody will be gunner, somebody will be engineer. It's like the Millennium Falcon ride.
The Disneyland Cars ride. I believe that's 8 people.
And I've never ridden it.
You don't. It doesn't bother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's a racing. Yeah. That's a fucking awesome ride.
Really good ride.
It's so good.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I have the utmost confidence in this. Universal has been killing it in the last, like, what, 2 decades? Killing it. Whenever they opened up
Harry Potter?
No, Islands of Adventure. Whenever they had Spider-Man open up, that was when things changed.
Still never been to it, but I keep hearing. I mean, actually, my friend Larry was like one of the biggest Disney fans ever and goes to Disney World all the time. I remember him coming back from Islands of Adventure the first time. He was going like,
yo.
They kicked Disney's ass. Like, oh,
that park
really?
Is amazing. That park is amazing. Yeah. And, you know, the Hulk isn't like, you're like, it's just a roller coaster. It's a good roller coaster.
Yeah.
Really good roller coaster.
Hulk just sort of sucker punches you. Like,
you are irradiated at the beginning of it, but they have a rail system when rail systems were kind of I don't even know if it's a rail system. It might not be that. But it shoots you out of the top of the roller coaster at the very beginning. So you instantly start the ride going 60 miles per hour.
Damn.
Sweet.
Yeah. Damn. Really good. And, of course, at the time they had Dueling Dragons before they shut that down, getting Harry Potter land. But that was then, Brian.
This is
now. Wait, why do we bring it down? What the fuck?
I don't know. That's
Brian,
weird, man.
Jesus Christ.
What Lisa, did I do?
Lisa, take us to the next.
All right. Well, there's a new game coming out called Code Vein, which deals with vampires. And you can score yourself a free copy if you're at TwitchCon in San Diego.
This weekend.
By the time it's too late. But they're holding a blood drive, and if you give blood, they will give you a copy of the game.
That's a pretty big prize for, you know, because it's not unlike, I mean, Comic-Con has done that where if you, at the blood drive, you get some sort of
exclusive
thing. But but for a whole game,
yeah,
that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And for a good cause. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what outweighs more than anything, because I have never heard about this game.
Yeah.
Have you?
I have not heard at all.
Neither have I. But I mean, that's obviously promotion for it, too. But
sure. I mean, because it could very well be like, here's Doo-Doo the game. Want to copy? No.
Why? Sure. Yeah.
And I have to give my blood? Yeah, tell me your shit.
Yeah. You can just keep that.
Can I play
and my blood?
Pee-pee the game instead. That's less interesting.
But yeah,
anyway.
I know Comic-Con's done stuff.
Move on them though, because like it gets noticed.
Yeah,
noticed.
Only in San Diego, but still.
And only during TwitchCon, and only between the hours. But I mean, still.
And you have to make an appointment.
Still? Oh, you don't have to, but they request that you do. Yeah. And as the time of the article was written, there were no appointments.
Because demand can go. Like, I remember when I gave blood at Comic-Con, I gave blood, you know, because not to toot my own horn, but to give blood. But at the same time, I was also kind of like, what was also kind of cool is that they were giving away like an exclusive Spike figure from Buffy, which was like that's another thing. It's like, he's a vampire. Makes sense.
That's awesome.
But they ran out by the time I got there.
That's so less like, awesome.
Yeah.
couldn't get a voucher or something?
I don't know. But I mean, at the same time, maybe that's part of why they want you to book it ahead of time so they can know what kind of demand they're looking at.
What'd you get for semen?
I have not donated
semen. Child.
You know what's funny? We have a friend. He won't care if I say his name. Andreas, we were joking about this. I'm like, blah, donating semen. He's like, yeah, actually, you can't do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, or he said he couldn't do that. Or certain people, he's like, I've looked into it. You have to only accept college graduates now. I'm like, what?
Too great of a demand. Well, actually, it's not that. It's more the people that are receiving the semen are like, no college degree. Don't want you.
Right. It's true. It's not as in high demand. So, I can understand. There's probably plenty of people just trying to make a buck, and they're like,
or the fact that he actually looked into it enough to know. Like, he's like, nope, they won't take this, and this. So yeah. I thought that was funny. How do we get on semen, Brian?
I don't know. You were the one who brought it up. But giving blood, it's a good thing.
You're the one who donated it.
Especially like for what it's worth, giving blood, they constantly need blood because blood does not last long.
No,
and
vampires,
there are constantly people who need it.
They just need it, all of it.
And we got to help them.
And this is a big this is a big scam. We're not giving this to people. We're just giving it to vampires.
Isn't that how Angel drink or no, Angel drank pig's blood?
I don't know.
On Buffy. Right?
Not kosher.
I think that wasn't that part of the reason he became the good guy so he can eat the bad guy blood. Something like that.
Like drink the vampire's blood?
No, not vampires, like because he was a good guy.
Oh,
so
he would only go after like criminals, and then he'd drink their blood,
he was
and then they'd be done.
Did he drink? I don't remember him drinking.
They could no longer create crime because they were dead.
Well, I just remember. Well, if Angel wasn't drinking it, I just remember like there was that time they had Spike captive, and they were just feeding him like mugs of pig's blood.
True.
Well,
and there was that time where he was like complaining to Giles, like, you know what happens to a vampire if he doesn't get blood? Actually, I don't know.
You're like, no, what? Yeah. That
explain
was
it to me.
Such a good show, man.
Yeah.
I had a good vampire joke here, and I can't find it now.
Nope, he can't. He's scrolling real hard, guys.
Real hard. Funny, it sparkled to you.
It was a meme, and I don't.
Oh,
see
that
it.
That works well on an audio. Yes.
It's all.
You know, comedy is a lot about timing, Chris.
And
is it
you
about
missed it.
Timing? Yeah, I can't find it. I must have.
I'm sure it was funny.
I'll send to you.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious, Chris.
Ha ha ha.
Oh man, I'd share it with you guys listening,
did find my Game of Thrones. That's how far back I scrolled. Game of Thrones memes.
That was a while ago.
Why'd you kill my mom?
How Drogon
mommy
thinks
chair?
His mom died. No! I don't know where it is. Oh well, yeah, you're right. We gotta, I guess, move along because they're gonna wait.
That's your story, man.
Mm-hmm. It's your guy, man. It's your story and your guy.
I thought it was more your guy, no?
No.
You're not a Pacadilly fan?
No.
Pacanelli fan?
Not really.
A Pacarelli? So, Jared.
I thought you meant Chris. Chuck Norris or something.
What?
Well, because it.
Jared Pacadilly.
Padalecki.
Padalecki,
yes.
Of Supernatural fame, which, you know, I've said this before, Lisa and I are pretty big fans of the show. Mm-hmm. We like watching
it. I like it.
Yeah. He is, I guess, pitched to NBC, ABC, one of the major networks.
It's not to a network yet.
No, it is NBC.
It is NBC.
Because they are pushing this for the Peacock.
Okay.
Well,
so
the same streaming service.
The point is he has proposed a reboot of a popular show, which your grandparents probably watched, which was Walker. Oh, sorry. Walker.
Ryan's old guys.
Texas Ranger, and he's going for the Chuck Norris role.
Sweet.
Yeah,
as long as
I'm glad he's working still.
Yeah,
I don't.
He looked good in a cowboy hat, right?
Probably.
I think he's
won
one.
I think women love him anyway.
He's awesome.
He's a handsome, big guy, man.
Yeah.
He's nice. I don't know. I don't see him in that role, but I get it. I guess.
I'm just glad they're just not involving Chuck Norris because he's a douchebag. But
who says they aren't?
Well, I mean, I'm expecting this to be like a reboot.
I'm betting $100 that he's in the first episode and he does this.
Oh, shit.
The thumbs up.
He just gives him a thumbs up. He's like, here comes Walker Tex Ranger. He's like,
yeah, I suppose. I mean, he's. You know, I just hope his involvement is not much, because I'm not a fan of the man.
No, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We must say, I was never a Chuck Norris fan. He's got good memes.
Yeah, he does have good
memes. The greatest memes. Which is funny, because his first big gig is getting his ass kicked, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in Way of the Dragon.
The most notable one,
yeah. Chest hair pulled out and exactly. made fun of, and then all of a sudden, next thing we know, he
kicks his ass.
He's got all the best memes in the world.
Sure, but that was before his beard.
Yeah,
that was
true.
Before he.
I feel like he reinvented
beard was on his chest. Beard,
right? He's fucking old anyway. What is he, like 75,
yeah,
6,
crazy.
7, 8, 80? He's up there, dog.
Yeah.
He ain't kicking anyone's ass anymore. And I didn't know you watched that show. What is it exactly about?
Well,
one guy
I'm
going
not,
around beating people's ass?
I didn't sit there like watching every episode.
You just said you were a fucking fan and watched it.
I did not say I was
this
a fan.
This motherfucker trying to battle backpedal.
You were saying
you
that
have a tattoo of Texas Ranger. Give me a break, Brian.
No, I just remember seeing a bunch of episodes as a kid. You know. Yeah, it was.
You too?
I mean, it's.
I saw a couple episodes.
There you go.
And that's Enrique's really
not
quiet.
His own grandfather.
Well, I guess I saw.
I watched.
But I'm not
a
Brian,
episodes.
Okay?
But I liked it more for like the funny stuff that they had, random stuff in there, because
like what?
I even like I remember Conan O'Brien always pointed it
yes.
out too, random Chuck Norris moment, and he pulls a lever and then something stupid like a like oh guy randomly pushes a kid in a wheelchair into
that
the
was,
lake or something like that.
That was the greatest legacy of that show, that yes. it became this recurring thing that Conan O'Brien would do, where he'd randomly pull the Walker Texas Ranger lever at random moments in the show, and it would just play this out of context clip from Walker Texas Ranger, and they were
hilarious.
like there was a bit where like it cuts to Walker like in a field
uh-huh.
and picks up a bit of soil, puts in his mouth, spits it out, plane crashed here.
Is that real?
Yes.
That's what jet fuel
yes.
tastes like.
Yes.
And it was in the dirt.
Clip.
And then, of course, there was the infamous Haley Joel Osment clip. Where you know about that one?
Yeah.
Where, like, Haley Joel Osment apparently was a child actor in one episode
no
of Walker
way.
Texas
he was
Ranger.
A child actor?
He was a child actor once. In an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. And there's a scene where it's just, like, him and Walker, and then, like, I don't know the context, and that's the brilliance of these clips that mm-hmm. That he'd play out of context. But like, just like he's sitting there talking to Walker, and then out of nowhere, his character just says, "Walker told me I have AIDS."
What?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And
then
Conan just sort of walked off the set just silently. Like, if you got to look it up, Walker Texas Ranger Conan.
Okay.
There's a whole clip, the whole like because he it was a recurring gag where he just randomly pulled a lever. And
I'll look at it 100% after we wrap up.
Yeah.
Lisa.
All right, so we are getting a sequel series to Saved by the Bell, that is taking place present day. Zach Morris will be the governor of California, and this is what it is.
Which is interesting because
Governor Zach Morris gets into hot water for closing too many low-income high schools and proposes the affected students be sent to higher-performing schools in the state, including Bayside High. And then that's.
And I guess this was further developments on it, because when the news about this first broke about
Mario Lopez
and
yes, no. So it's Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley in it. Uh-huh. They have not talked, at least last I saw, they had not talked to Mark Paul Gossner about this. So
that's why I was curious about this, because this is coming straight from the Hollywood Reporter that Zach Morris will be governor of California.
It's the character, but you don't don't necessarily have to have the actor
Mark Paul Gosselaar,
in
yeah,
the show to do that.
That's
so
fucked up.
See, I had
it's
heard,
really fucked
I'd
up.
Heard
I
the
think.
News from him saying they hadn't contacted me about this yet.
He
but then
heard
when I read
about
this story, I was like,
press.
maybe they have talked
he
to him.
He heard
now.
About it from this story.
Okay.
Wow.
That's weird, because especially considering apparently the actors, like the whole cast, have still been really chummy. Like there was apparently some get together they did a while back that Tiffany Thiessen had actually herself organized and posted photos on Instagram of them all together, and like this was just
including
them
Dustin Diamond.
Apparently, well, not Dustin Diamond.
I think they
should say everybody. Yeah.
Everyone hates Dustin
Diamond. I don't think anybody's.
I don't think
that
anyone really liked him in the start, though.
Well, but still, it's like nevertheless,
also
like
the other way around too. I think he hates it.
Well, he
the show and stuff, right?
Okay, so the whole crux of this is that they were all older, and he was the younger kid on the cast, and they all treated him like that, and kind of egged him on to do stuff, and he was not nice to them because of stuff like that. So I don't know how far the relation or how good it is now, but I mean, we've seen this motherfucker in the, you know, in the Z-list celebrity shows, like, you know, Rehab and Losers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I never see him with them anymore. And they're always like, Tiffany Amber Thiessen had a cooking show, right? On a Food Network. And
sure.
Sounds right.
She had, you know, Zach over, and they're like, that's what they did. They were like, dinosaurs.
Well, at least what they're saying here is that the core cast, Lopez, Thiessen, Gosselaar and Berkeley, they reunited in April, hosted by the latter duo, and it was well documented on Instagram.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think for the main, those guys get along. Yeah. It's kind of weird. This is also going to be streaming on the Peacock. Okay.
It's more.
So I'm not, again, I'm not that married to this. Okay. I liked Saved by the Bell as a kid, but, you know, none of the other shows was I ever a fan of. I don't know about you guys.
I watched them. All I liked them. I saw the college. Went to college? Yeah, I watched those.
What about the new class?
Oh, I never saw any of those ones.
I
saw a lot of the original.
I liked the new class.
I don't know. I see Mr. Belding pop in movies nowadays. I'm
he's creepy.
Wow. Mr. Belding.
He creeps me out.
He had a funny role in that cowboy movie of How the West Was Won, or Million Tales to Tell. And
How the West Was Won was the movie. Yeah.
It was that. No, it wasn't that. It was the funny one with the Seth.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember the name of it. The one with Charlize Theron.
Yeah. What are you selling here?
Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, thank you. Snake oil. He's like, and the one of the ingredients to this says plaid. He's like. Like a plaid from a shirt. He's like, just a little bit. I don't know. It was a really funny role. Anyway, there was one little bit of news that I wanted to pop over to with Star Wars Beat It Out. The original cast of the top three remaining cast of Jurassic Park are going to be in the new Jurassic World movie.
Yeah. Grant Sattler and Malcolm will all be reunited, or presumably. Well, they'll all be in Jurassic World 3.
I hope they get eaten.
I kind of do too.
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I hope everyone is eaten and dinosaurs inherit the earth.
Optimistic that the talking raptor will be back.
Alan.
Does he have a name?
The talking raptor?
Yeah.
Does
he have like a fake, like, is it a name that everyone knows him by?
Kind of like Jaws with Bruce?
Sure. Yeah. Anything at all. Because he's one of the more notorious parts of the Jurassic Park series, right? Everyone's like the talking dinosaur.
Well, the thing is, like, Grant and Sattler couldn't save Jurassic Park 3, and then
was hardly in it.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
And the presence of Dr. Malcolm couldn't really save Jurassic World 2. So, but maybe all three of them together combined will save this franchise.
2 was still a box office draw.
It was
mostly because the first one was so dynamite. You know, Steven Spielberg doesn't always knock him out of the park.
Well, I mean, personally, one of my biggest issues with the Jurassic World movies is I feel like there's a lack of intellectual main characters. I mean, especially that's one of the things that Crichton, like everyone was like an expert in some field or something. That was sort of his thing. He was always pushing scientists as primary characters. Nothing against Owen and Claire, but I guess something against Owen and Claire. But I don't know. I think it'd be cool to see the original trio, but I don't know how they'd be involved. Like, did we all see Jurassic World 2?
Yeah, of course.
Fallen Kingdom?
I mean, as much as I thought the movie was garbage.
Rest in peace, Brontosaurus. I mean, Brachiosaurus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as much as I thought the movie was kind of garbage, I'm really intrigued by the ending they gave it.
I like the whole movie.
Yeah, I felt that way with Jurassic World 2.
Mm.
The first.
Yeah.
And then it was like, the end. Okay, they've got something going here. And then they started the next movie and were like, forget what you saw at the end. We're doing other shit. And they're
so
like,
much,
it ended really great.
But at this point, like, it's no longer it's not just Isla Nublar and Isla Sorna. Like, the dinosaurs are loose.
Yeah.
Like, it is a Jurassic World.
They released a short.
Yes, Battle of Big Rock or something. Yeah, it was Colin Trevorrow directed this little short, and I thought it was interesting. I mean,
it was all right.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
The best part of it was
like
the credits, because the credits show you all that footage of
that Jurassic would have been better.
Yeah, and I also just loved that they reprised
dinosaurs interacting
and they reprised
people.
John Williams' Lost World theme, which is one of my favorite underrated John Williams themes, the score for The Lost World. So I love that they wove that in there too. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, it's basically just further cementing the idea that now we live in a world where dinosaurs and humans have to coexist.
Which is the whole last 10 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last movie.
Yeah.
Which I felt a little robbed at, but that's okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But at least we'll get it with this movie. And I guess that's the only way they could
get
it.
Don't get me wrong. As much as you didn't like it, I really liked the last movie. I'm like, they did everything that I'm like, finally new interesting stuff that we're not stuck in a stupid fucking park where things go wrong. Sure. Jesus Christ.
We're stuck in a stupid fucking house and where things go wrong.
And also at the same time,
half hour of the movie.
The fact that the dinosaurs are all over, or spreading out throughout the world now, I guess.
I thought that was really cool.
Well, it also makes it like, you know, because if they were still on that island, how are they going to fucking convince Dr. Grant to go back again? Like, no, like,
you've
like
got to kill them all, Dr. Grant. Just right. You and only you.
No, he becomes even bigger modern day celebrity because like he's one of the few people that you know
that's been there.
A
survivor.
Well, not the few people because I'm sure they have tons of dinosaur experts now.
But he's a survivor of the first incident.
Yeah, I mean, he comes into the real world.
That's actually one of the things I found interesting. As much as I didn't like Jurassic Park 3, I liked that like the way he was like. Early on in the movie where he's giving lectures and people are asking him about the Jurassic Park incident and like, cause people know about it now because of San Diego.
Right.
And now he's like one of these few people who was there at that first incident. And you know, yeah, the world is kind of like he's seen in a completely different light that way. He's almost a celebrity in that way, you know? So yeah, it'll be interesting. Get the whole gang of doctors back together.
Sure. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Mm. I think the last one saved itself for the new series for me. Enough interest to see the next movie because I think I was one of those people like done after the Jurassic World.
Sure.
So, anyway, anybody been on the Universal one?
Oh, the ride,
the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both.
It was really good. Yeah. I mean, dude, the Mosasaur, like that room.
What the fuck is a Mosasaur? Does it have a beard?
That's any parts?
Any
parts the water? Oh my god!
That. I think the ride was worth it just for that first moment. Because
what is a Mosasaur? I'm sorry.
It's just the aquatic dinosaur.
Oh.
It's that giant
it's that
one
whale
that eats
shark
the shark in the movie.
That's why in the second movie, that was an amazing scene. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, okay, so the ride, the Jurassic World ride is largely Jurassic Park just re-updated.
That's what I figured.
But the Mosasaur room is the biggest difference because unlike the whole Brachiosaur Cove where you first go in, now you're in like this aquarium.
Ooh.
And there's like water all around you, and you see the Mosasaur swimming. If like just eat a shark, and then like
he eats a shark in the my god,
yeah, and then it just
it
like, kind of
gives
cool.
you a little bit of a SeaWorld vibe, where like you know it swipes its tail, and the waves come right over the
yeah,
tank
you're
and
in the splash
you.
Zone.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really gnarly. It's really cool the way they did that screen effect too. It's just really cool. And then it starts like I don't want to spoil too much, but like there's moments where it starts breaking the glass.
It's a ride. Yeah, I mean they put that in the trailer, so
yeah, it's
really
cool.
The finale pretty much the same still.
Yeah,
they added two extra dinosaurs. Yeah. Obviously, they added Blue in there and
the
Indominus Rex.
Oh, Blue.
And it felt like it's at least a little bit more fluid of you know that moment you know with the T-Rex coming out.
The animatronics look a hell of a lot better. Even the T-Rex itself, like because before the T-Rex, I feel like would just swing out at you, and this one like you see it just like emerge and just like oh
yeah,
man, that was,
it felt like
badass.
They did something to the animatronics to make it look a little bit better.
Yeah,
cool. That sounds awesome. All right.
Oh yeah, the Stegosaur too. They have they still have the mother and baby Stegosaur, but they like it's like they clearly upped their game with the animatronics. It's pretty sweet.
They took out what didn't work. Like for example, the car that fell down when it constantly broke down and never fell down most of the time. They took out the Brachiosaur that the real broken neck.
They had a constant problem with all those dinosaurs because they were always submerged and they couldn't figure out a good way for them not to be wet a lot of times.
And honestly, I miss the car dropping thing because I love that so much from Jurassic Park.
But
at the same time, that was really just from the first movie, so I totally get why they're...
Granted, I've only been on the ride maybe 20 times, maybe.
I had a problem with it only because they still played the sound of the car dropping.
Oh yeah,
when there was no car.
I mean,
dropping.
I never not saw it drop. Is what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw it drop. I did remember seeing it drop.
Oh, certainly.
No. I mean, every time I went on the ride, it dropped.
It did what it was supposed to.
It
do.
Never
you
not
never,
dropped.
Never saw not saw no. it drop. Oh,
yeah. I feel like maybe only once or twice I didn't really see it working properly, but yeah, usually it was working.
I saw it constantly.
It definitely.
Well, we don't all get to go to Universal Studios. Like
it was definitely
apparently
pretty janky.
It broke
towards
down
the end.
Just
Lohamora. Anyway, that was Geek Pop for this week. I'm Big Chris.
Brian.
And Ricky.
And your geek is. Oh, I found that.
quick,
tell it.
Quick.
All right. Yeah,
you did.
All right. Knock, knock. Hello. Do you have a minute to talk about Dracula? No. Wait, Dracula? Yes. Your vampires? Yes, we have pamphlets. Vampires have missionaries. Where else would new vampires come from? I assumed you bit people. There are many hurtful stereotypes. May we come in? Hey. That was good, right?
That was actually pretty good.
That was pretty cute.
All right. And your geek has just been popped.